Sportscast, July 30th, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, Periscope, iTunes, and YouTube. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And, of course, you can go to thesportscast.net for the latest and greatest. We got some breaking news coming soon. This episode is brought to you by Insta Bible App. You can get the Insta Bible App on the iOS App Store. The SEC presidents and chancellors on Thursday, today, approved a 10-game conference-only football schedule for the fall that begins on September 26. SEC, the greatest conference in the world, has made their announcement. And joining us today, Justin Riley and special guest, Cruz Oxenrider, all the way from Jacksonville. Welcome to the Sportscast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Hey, glad to be here again, man. That's twice in 1 week.
Twice in a week, and that's a double blessing. Cruz, tell us a little bit about yourself and your relationship with Alabama.
Yeah, so I went to the University of Alabama. I was there, got to see a couple of natties, studied marketing. I grew up in Mobile, Alabama. I did not grow up an Alabama fan, though. I actually grew up a Gator. My parents were Gators, so even – you know, explored Gainesville for a little bit for school before I, you know, got my mind right and end up, you know, making my way back to Tuscaloosa. Yeah, so I am now a newly converted Alabama fan since about 2011. So not going to pretend I'm a diehard or anything.
Why did you choose Alabama over Florida? Like, what was the deciding factor there?
Man, I've been a Gator since – long as I can remember. I bled orange and blue. I mean, I even got to watch the Tebow years through high school. You know, Gainesville was like this place I built up in my head for so long, thinking that was the greatest place on earth. And, you know, when I got there, you know, my expectations were, I think, just way too high. I didn't feel like home. I should have just gone to Alabama or Auburn to begin with, like half my friends did, you know, from high school. I visited both schools and honestly couldn't make up my mind. I actually flipped a coin and landed on Alabama. That's how. And then, you know, immediately filled out and went there. So
Justin Riley, that was a good choice of him, wasn't it?
That was an excellent choice.
I let fate decide. So, you know.
Now, was Alabama tails or heads?
Oh, it's tails. Tails never fails.
and Alabama never fails. So.
Anyways, Alabama is in the SEC, and the SEC has decided a 10-game conference starting September 26. We'll go with Justin Riley. What are your first thoughts when you heard this late-breaking story around 4 p.m. Eastern?
Well, to be honest with you, it's what we all expected. I mean, there's really nothing else to say. I mean, partly, secretly, I was kind of holding out for the same schedule we had just because if we go all SEC, it's going to be quite the gauntlet, not just for us, but for anybody.
It could be sexy.
But I think whoever survives our conference and knows the key word survives is certainly worthy of being in the playoffs.
Cruz, what are your thoughts when you first heard the news? Were you surprised or you thought this was going to happen?
No, I wouldn't say surprised. You know, once we got word that the USC game, the opening day game, was up for, you know, cancellation, you know, the rumors started flowing around. I am surprised, though, that they went the way they did. I thought it was mainly going to be they were going to be a little more generous to the top teams. You know, for Alabama, they get Florida and Vandy, so – that's going to be a huge implication on the playoff race. If I don't know how anyone's going to get through the SEC undefeated, especially going to Atlanta. I thought this could be a year where the SEC could have possibly two teams in the playoffs again this year. I don't see that happening whatsoever now. I think this is probably going to be maybe the most competitive the SEC has been. Especially during the playoff era. I think it's honestly last man standing. At best, I see a team only finishing with one conference loss now.
Justin, do you think anyone will come out alive and undefeated?
Alive, yes. Undefeated, no. I mean, it could happen, but the road to undefeated is going to be quite a hard path to go down. I mean, let's face it, it's the SEC. To be honest with you, I think you might even see a two-loss SEC team coming out on top and still headed to playoffs. So, yeah, there is no easy road in the SEC. This isn't the ACC.
Justin, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not sure if the news was correct. Is there going to be a one game that's going to be non-conference, or they're going to keep it 10 games conference only?
SEC is 10 games conference only. Now, the ACC initially wanted to have the 10-game conference only plus one just to keep the in-state rivalries alive. And they were hoping the SEC would follow suit. However, that's not to be. But at least the ACC was leaving the door open to keep some of these rivalries alive.
Now, was there a plan or a rumor that the ACC would do a conjoined schedule with the SEC? Was that something that was a possibility? Or?
You know, that's something I have not heard. But it would work. I could see it happening, but through all the articles and the things that I've been listening to, haven't really pushed towards that result.
Any of you two is – okay, so the schedule is – maybe Cruz might know this. Now, what Alabama has scheduled for this season, they're going to keep the conference, but they're going to add, like, the other ones.
So they – yeah, so they added right now. So it came out. Paul Feinbaum released on Twitter. It got out. So Alabama now plays Florida and Vandy. So Wow. If you take that, Bama now has to play Georgia, Florida, A&M, Auburn, LSU, and then turn around if they do make it through the West, and then turn around and have to play possibly Florida or Georgia again.
What do you think about that, Justin?
Man, that's going to be absolute hell. I mean, and the thing is, the contests between Georgia and Florida aren't far removed from each other either. So Alabama really doesn't get a break in that, if to be honest. And of course, we play Ole Miss in that span, but Oxford's not going to be a cakewalk.
Wow, Cruz. I mean, this is like I said, SEC in soccer terms. I call it like the group of death.
Bracket of the yeah.
What is the winnable games with the hard ones? I mean, what's your hunch telling you here?
I mean, so I had Alabama going undefeated throughout the regular season before today. I did. I thought their trap game this year was actually going to be. It's going to be at Tennessee. Now I don't know. You know, because we don't know if it's going to be a home game or an away game with Florida or Vandy, so we don't know that yet. You know, I still think that Alabama will, at worst, lose one game this year, and it just honestly depends where is the Florida game going to fall between our schedule. You know, because it could be. If it's a 3-week stretch of going Georgia, Florida, and Ole Miss, that's a problem. That's a scary thing to think about, especially with no bye week, depending on how it works. So until the full schedule comes out, I'm not sure how it is, but I thought the schedule this year for Alabama really lined up perfectly for them to get to the playoffs easy, make it to Atlanta, just get through Florida or Georgia again. But now this is a huge, huge thing for not just Bama, but for Georgia itself, for Florida, who is my SEC East pick. I mean, so until that comes out and, you know, we know who's going to be playing who, where, and when, you know, it's tough to say.
Justin, you've been following, Alabama's roster. How is it looking for this season? I know last year that their defense was not that good, but – is their defense much better this year than last year?
Well, I would like to think that the defense has improved tremendously. But the roster really allowed for us, before this happened, Clint Cruz just said, to make it through the regular season unscathed. Now, I agree with him. There's going to be a trap game at Tennessee, but I had a few others that kind of stood out to me. Ole Miss and Oxford. Ole Miss and Oxford, that's going to be a difficult one. Ole Miss always plays us tough. They always just seem to get up for Alabama. Yeah. Oxford is a hell of a place to play. It's very tricky. And you got the Lane Kiffin factor, so they're going to be up for it.
But, Justin, keep in mind, there might be no fans at these games.
Well, it's still – it's a tricky place to play. Ole Miss gives 150%. That's their national championship game every year. Let's just go ahead and say it. And Lane Kiffin's going to have them ready. So I believe that's going to be a lot closer than we really want it to be. Tennessee, like Cruz said, is going to be difficult. That's a rivalry. They are going to be sneaky good this year. I think that before this conference-only schedule got released, they were going to surprise a lot of people and quite honestly finish high in the East. One of the games that really concerned me before this was released was the Texas A&M game, and I'll tell you why. Before today, A&M had a cakewalk, absolute easy street until it played Alabama.
Playing Citadels.
Alabama by that point would have already gone through the gauntlet of, you know, LSU, Georgia, and everybody else. And so we would be pretty worn down, and I thought that could have been a little bit of a difficult stretch for us to get through and get through A&M easily. But now – It all kind of depends on where the games are going to be played. That Florida game is going to be a major game to circle. Florida is going to be much improved. Before this happened, I honestly thought Florida could win the East this year and maybe sneak into the playoffs.
Guys, I got to be honest with you. I've seen this already in Europe these past month. Having no fans is no home field advantage, guys. There's no home field advantage. There's nothing.
Yeah,
this is neutral sites pretty much.
I wouldn't even say neutral sites at this point because at least, because our schools like ours travel well. I've gone to the Dallas games. I've gone to the ones in Atlanta. I've gone to even the one in Orlando. We traveled well. I mean, so this is – it's definitely going to play a factor. But here's the way I look at it. Brian Denny, I wouldn't say has an amazing zealous – home field advantage. Yes, is it loud? But we're not, the loudest stadium in the SEC. We're not. It can get loud, but I wouldn't say that we're deafening the way we are. This is mainly going to impact. It's going to impact Georgia. It's going to impact LSU dramatically. It's going to impact Florida. It's going to impact Auburn. Those stadiums that are right on top of you. I even think it's going to affect Tennessee a little bit. So that's going to play a huge factor into it, I think. For Bama, I don't think it's going to be a killer. Because, like I say, I've been to, dozens and dozens of games at Bama, and there's only a handful of times where I can remember it was like, wow, it's really loud in here. So I don't think that's going to really affect us too much. If anything, I think it'll be more of a benefit because everyone knows that when Bama comes to town – it's going to be rocking. It's going to be sold out. It's going to be over capacity. So I think, if anything, that's something that will play into Bama's hands going down the line.
Cruz, who is the winner for the West and East, and who is your dark horse from each side?
Yeah. So my prediction going in before today was Bama, Florida. That was my SEC championship. Now, it doesn't change for me, mainly because now that we're playing Florida and Georgia. So, regardless, we're going to have to play one of these teams twice to me. I still think it's going to be Florida. I think this is the year they get by Georgia. I'm not buying into the Jamie Newman hype. I'm just not. Especially because I don't even know if he's going to be the starter because they brought in the kid from USC. So, I don't know. My dark horse team in the West is Texas A&M. Like Justin said, they have a cakewalk of a schedule. Their hardest game before they play Bama second to last week of the year is at Auburn. And we don't know what kind of defense Auburn's going to have this year. Kellen Mond's coming in a senior year. I think that they're going to shock some people. If they get by Auburn, there's no reason why they shouldn't be undefeated in a top five team going into the Alabama game. Now, granted, I'm not sure who A&M got added to their schedule. They played Georgia last year, so I don't think it's Georgia. If anything, it's probably Tennessee. So I have A&M as my dark horse in the
West.
In the West. I have Tennessee as my dark horse in the East. I think Pruitt's done a really good job recruiting. I think, you know, Garantano is coming back another year under Pruitt's system. I don't think that this is Tennessee's year to really, you know, really compete for the East. I think that's next year. But I have Florida, Georgia, Tennessee as my top three. And then look out for Kentucky, because Kentucky probably has one of the most underrated defenses in the country. You know, Stoops has done a really good job there in Lexington. And I think they can give Florida and Georgia, you know, if they take them lightly, some run for their money. I know Kentucky over the past years has given Florida just absolute fits. And it's taken a lot of, you know, a lot of effort for Florida to win those games.
Justin Riley, who is your favorite SEC West and East, and who is your dark horse from each side?
SEC West, got to go with Alabama. I just think that Alabama has way too much coming back to miss winning that SEC West crown. And plus, they have that chip on their shoulder. They have something approved. Pretty bad taste in their mouth after what happened recently. And I really feel like that Mac Jones is going to be the best quarterback in the SEC this year.
Wow.
I say he's going to be the player of the year, but I think he's going to have the most passing yards, and he's really going to turn a lot of heads. A dark horse, I agree with Cruz. Not trying to copy your list or anything, brother, but Texas A&M is definitely the dark horse there.
Why?
They have a lot of talent coming back. And quite honestly, this is Kellen Mond's put-up-or-shut-up year. We've been waiting for the past 3 years for him to go off. He really showed us something as a freshman, did excellent against Clemson that first year. Last year, he kind of disappeared. But this is his time to do it. So I feel like they are in perfect position to possibly make some noise in the West. SEC East, again, not trying to be a copycat. Florida is the most experienced team, and they had the most returning. The biggest key is Kyle Trask is coming back at quarterback. They're not having to figure out what their identity is at this point. They know what it is. Whereas Georgia is trying to figure out who their quarterback is going to be. And that takes some time to sift through. The dark horse for the SEC East is going to be Tennessee. I think they're going to surprise some folks. Jerry Pruitt is doing some amazing things out there. He's getting the most out of his players. And they have some good talent. And he's been able to coach them up. And that stretch they pulled off this past season – on the second half of the season where everybody wrote them off for dead was incredible. So I have nothing but high expectations for them.
I'm not sure if you guys know this, but which team, either from East or West, is screwed pretty much, you know, with this whole changes? Anyone? I've been hearing Florida.
Well, Florida's got a tough one, man. Florida's tough. So this is – I think if Florida – because they added Bama.
Lord.
I don't know for a fact who they added with. It could be A&M. If they added A&M, then that's just I think that could be just death-defying. Look, if Florida makes it through this with one loss or even two losses at the end of this season – They should be a top five team. I mean, because now they're playing Alabama, Georgia, LSU, Tennessee. You know, and if you add A&M in there, I mean, they're possibly playing. You know, those teams are definitely going to be top 25 teams. You know, Kentucky's no walkover either. I don't know. Florida, I mean, like I said, I thought they were going to be a dark horse playoff team, you know, to maybe sneak in if everything fell their way. You know, now there's – if you lose that Georgia game, it's done, you know. If you lose that the game in Jacksonville, man, I think you're done, which I don't even know if they're going to play in Jacksonville.
Yeah, now. That's been a question on Twitter now, like a few minutes ago. They're not sure if that would be a neutral ground. What's the point if there's going to be no fans?
I agree. I mean, and then what do you do after that? Because then, you know, the next year when things, you know, if, you know, hopefully things go back to normal, the other team's going to be like, well, you guys came to Athens. Why aren't you guys coming to Gainesville this year? You know, and then there's that debate, because there's been talks of Kirby Smart wanting the game out of Jacksonville for years, wanting it to be a home.
Really?
Yeah. So in living here, I know that's something that's been going around as well. So that's a thought that could, you know, put an end to the Florida-Georgia game in Jacksonville and making it, you know, home and home, which I wouldn't be opposed to because that's a really good underrated rivalry. I would love to see what it would be like, you know, Georgia going to Gainesville or Florida going to Athens, you know, to decide the SEC West or I'm sorry, SEC East. So Florida would probably be my pick of who this could possibly screw over. Because like I said, their schedule lined up kind of like Alabama's. You get by Georgia, you're in.
Yeah, the giant. Thoughts on that, Justin?
Well, yeah, I mean, Florida is going to have quite the road ahead of them. Of course, Alabama mirrors what they've got. There really is no easy team. There's really no team that has it made, per se. I mean, the only teams that you really can't see getting past maybe, like, definitely is Arkansas and maybe Vanderbilt. As far as everyone else, yeah, it's just going to be tough. And I agree with moving that game out of Jacksonville. You know, Alabama played Auburn for the longest time in Birmingham. And then when it went home and home, it just meant a whole heck of a lot more. And when you win the West at your home stadium, or even if you win it at the visitor stadium, man, it's huge. It means just so much instead of playing on a neutral site. I mean, it's a big deal with the neutral site, but it goes up a whole nother level when you're at home. So, but yeah, there is no like easy road for anybody right now.
No, everyone has it kind of even, don't they?
For the most part, yeah. this isn't ACC.
Clemson, Oklahoma, and Ohio State are reading this news, and they're just licking their fingers right now.
Oh yeah, they're getting excited.
Good point.
Everybody's
Good
getting
point.
Excited. They're thinking the SEC is coming down because we're going to be taking out each other.
Yeah, so by the time Selection Sunday comes, the SEC is going to be in a body cast. Luckily, you know, I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, but there's no reason Clemson – I mean, they could probably play their second string in the majority of their games and coast through until they play Carolina in the ACC championship. Ohio State, I mean, they still have to play, you know, the Wisconsins, the Penn States, you know, the Michigans, you know, sometimes, you know – Look, we've seen Iowa and Purdue beat them over the years. So, I mean, they fall asleep sometimes. So, we'll see about that. Oklahoma, Texas is still going to probably decide Big 12 twice when I have them playing each other in the Big 12 championship. But, man, if you're a Clemson or if you're Ohio State or an Oklahoma and you're looking at this, you're like, oh, we're good. So, I mean, this could finally be the year where a Big 12 team can sneak up on a SEC team and give them a run for their money in the playoff game, you know, just depending on who gets through. This changes a lot of things. It really does.
It makes things interesting. 2020, we'll look at it. This is not like NBA or the MLS as an asterisk. This might be the most exciting thing in sports right now. I think college football has become more exciting. The SEC title game is on December 19th, 2 weeks later than planned at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So that doesn't change. We'll find out the full schedule at a later date. We'll find out soon, but they do have about 2 months till the start of the season. So definitely plenty of time to get things in training. Real quick, the Bucs signed LeSean McCoy. Tom Brady has a running back. What are your thoughts, Justin?
Man, that's a big signing for them. They just got that rookie out of Vanderbilt. His name escapes me, but I was really impressed with having him in the backfield. Now you got a seasoned veteran in LeSean McCoy, who also has a Super Bowl ring now. That means a whole lot as far as having a veteran presence and being able to mentor the young kid. The backfield just got a whole lot better.
They needed someone.
Vaughn was his name.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. And having a two-headed monster at running back is definitely a great thing. And then the receivers, good gosh, on paper right now, that offense looks like it's going to light up the NFC. On paper, you know, how it plays out, we don't know, but that's a pretty big signing.
Cruz, quick thoughts on the Bucs signing McCoy.
It would have been a really good signing about 5 years ago. Man, I'm sorry. This is like when the Saints signed Adrian Peterson a couple years ago. I don't think it means that much. LeSean McCoy, you know, he didn't even play in the Super Bowl. He was on IR. It was a Damian Williams show. Yeah. And plus, they got the Kansas City, you know, moved on because they got the kid out of LSU, Edwards-Helaire, which that kid's going to be a stud. If you can pick him up in fantasy, do it. Especially Damian Williams sitting out the season. I think, honestly, the Buccaneers will be the Cleveland Browns of 2020.
Oh.
I think that they are all bark, no bite. I'm sorry. I don't see it. It's New Orleans division. They run the NFC South. They own Tampa Bay. You can't tell me that Gronk hasn't played in 2 years. He's going to come back and be 2015 Gronk. Mike Evans is a stud. Don't get me wrong. I think Mike Evans is probably criminally underrated. I think Godwin, he's good, but I think Jameis Winston, they were playing catch up most of the year, so his numbers are a little bit better than they should be. OJ Howard, I love OJ, but, Tampa Bay and Bruce Arians have made it clear. It's like having a Ferrari just parked in the driveway. Ronald Jones was drafted a couple years ago out of USC to Tampa Bay. They haven't really run that. Tampa Bay's offensive line isn't that great. So on paper, yeah, they look great. And on Madden, they look great. But until I see it with no preseason, a reduced training camp, I just don't see Tampa Bay being Super Bowl contenders, especially with the defense. I mean, I'm sorry. I just don't see everyone's trying to say that they can be a sneaky good defense or young and all this stuff. I don't think having an offseason really helped them much either. They didn't get much better on the defensive side of the ball. I think Keyshawn Vaughn, the kid out of Vandy, the rookie, I think he can become a pretty good running back. But like I said, I don't think this LeSean McCoy signing is going to make or break. I still think it's going to come down to New Orleans and San Francisco for the NFC.
Well, there you have it. NFL will begin next month as well, the same time as college football, so it should be quite exciting. We're almost out of time. Predictions, NBA restarts tonight in Orlando, Utah versus New Orleans. Who do you have, Justin?
Utah,
and Zion's back. Who do you got, Cruz?
Oh, I got the Pelicans. Pelicans, my sneaky dark horse team to make some noise in the West. Look out for the Miami Heat as well.
Clippers versus the Lakers. Justin.
Man, this seems like a conference championship game. Man, what a better way to – is there a better way to start the first game back after the pandemic?
You can't beat it. We'll see how it goes, though.
This is going to be a war back and forth. I say the Lakers edge the Clippers out at the end.
Cruz?
I think this is LeBron's revenge tour. I'll be surprised if the Lakers don't dominate everybody they play this year. I got the Lakers, and, man, I they're my winners. I don't see how LeBron is coming to this so focused. And I think he's going to dominate these playoffs.
There you have Cruz. Is a LeBron fan, what it sounds like.
I'm not a LeBron fan. I'm a Dwayne Wade fan. I'm a D Wade fan.
D Wade, I like it. Miami Heat.
Yes.
Poll question. Justin?
Guy. I'm a Lakers guy, but I'm not a LeBron fan. So
not a LeBron Lakers. Lakers, Kobe, Will Chamberlain. No,
Magic Johnson. I'm a Kobe. I'm a Lakers fan, circa Kobe and Shaq era.
2000 to 2004. Twitter poll. Twitter poll question of the day. What is your favorite cheesecake? Options are original, Oreo, strawberry, or lemon raspberry cream. We'll go with Cruz.
Oh, I got to go Oreo, especially Cheesecake Factory. Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Good point.
Come on, somebody.
Justin Riley, tough choices. What are your choices? I mean,
I want to go to Cheesecake Factory and figure it out.
And then call us back and see.
I'm telling you, man, I feel like there's going to be a Cheesecake Factory in heaven. I'm that confident in it. Oh, God, go with the Oreos, man. I've had the Cheesecake Factory's version of it, and my gosh, there's nothing that compares. I've had the s'mores before, and if you hadn't had that one, that was pretty freaking amazing. But, yeah, I got to go with that.
We'll definitely consider that. Original still beats Oreo, guys, 50% to 25%. And
I gotta put Cheesecake Factory in there, though.
we should add a Cheesecake Factory Oreo cheesecake. We should add
100%. Yes.
And that would have won.
Oh, hands down. Would have been unanimous.
And then strawberry is tied with Oreo with 25%. Lemon raspberry cream has zero right now.
Good. As it should.
It's just like one of those like little filler cheesecakes in that store-bought variety pack. It's like
it never gets touched.
Doesn't. It's like, we got to put something here. Let's just put that,
Anyways, you could definitely vote on our Twitter account at the Sportscast One. You got about 10 hours to vote, so definitely – give lemon raspberry a chance. Maybe not. We'll see what happens. Cruz, what a joy of you. Of having you. What is the best way to reach you to talk to you about Jacksonville restaurants?
Ooh. You can call me or text me anytime. I'm telling you, if you guys are ever in Jacksonville, you got to go to Taco Lou, got to do Cantina Louie, got to do Biggie's Pizza. And then if you are in the mood to have a really good time, go to Lemon Bar. So that is my go-to spots. And then, of course, you can always go to Town Center, and then you can go to Cheesecake Factory as well.
Yeah, which I found out today that the Town Center is pretty cool. But anyways, what's your Twitter account?
My Twitter account is The Real Cruz Ox. So I'm usually tweeting about Alabama football. Occasionally, I'll annoy some people with my New Orleans Saints fandom. But, I mainly stick to the Alabama football thing, so.
And Justin Riley, what is the best way to reach you to talk to you about how to work out with a mask on?
Well, first of all, I got to ask, what's a bigger fandom of yours, the Saints or Mac Jones?
Ooh.
Oh, man.
Put on the spot, man.
Santiago, you need to get to know his Mac Jones fandom he's created. It's freaking epic what's happened. And when we have some time, we got to have you back because we got to talk about this, and we got to.
He's probably coming back.
Yeah, have me back anytime, man. I'm a big Mac Jones guy. Next time you guys have me on, we'll definitely go into it. I will support anybody who is QB1 of the Crimson Tide. So, but I am a big Mac Jones fan. I think he's going to light it up this year. Bold prediction: he will lead the SEC in passing yards or passing touchdowns.
You really think he'll be, like, the best quarterback in the SEC this year?
I mean, look at the competition he has. I don't think that's really saying a lot. But granted, everyone – he doesn't have to put up these Tua numbers. He doesn't have to do it. I mean, because he Joe Burrow. He doesn't need to come throw 60 touchdown passes. I mean, this Alabama team is so stacked this year on offense. They have the best offensive line in the country. They have two wide receivers that could possibly go in the top 10 of the draft. They have probably the deepest backfield in the country. So there's no reason why, he can't have a 30 touchdown to the five interception ratio, honestly. I mean, I really think he's going to put up some really impressive numbers. I think it's going to be a lot more like Alabama 2015, Jacob Coker, Derrick Henry. So, or 2012, AJ McCarron, Eddie Lacy, TJ Yeldonish.
We definitely need to have you back for the college football preview show, which will be in September now. So,
yeah.
Justin, what are your digits or your Twitter handle?
I'm not giving my digits because we have too many crazy people on Twitter.
That's correct.
You can find me on Twitter at JustinRiley7. You can also find me on Instagram at JustinRiley_7. Small difference. I also will help contribute to the Sportscast on Twitter and Instagram. That's at the Sportscast One.
And tell us about Tuesday night's show. I know we have special Alabama legends coming on because they have not much to do during this weeks of the pandemic.
Don't have much to do. Well, he actually does. Cruz, I don't know when you started following Alabama football, but on Tuesday, 6 p.m. Central, we have former tight end Terry Jones Jr., great tight end for Alabama and the
what year
early
was this?
2000s. He was 99 through 2001.
That was before.
So I was a Gator. I was still a Gator.
But phenomenal tight end. When he finished at Alabama, he went and played for the Baltimore Ravens for a number of years. Very successful there. So we're really excited about having him on.
But he's no Gronkowski.
Who is? No, he don't. And Terry is busy. I will say this because he's actually a coach of a high school in Atlanta. So he's busy right now trying to figure things out.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see if high school football – a lot of high school football is being canceled, but we'll find out more throughout the next couple of weeks. You can reach us at the Sportscast 1 or at thesportscast.net for the latest and greatest, and we'll let you know about what's going to happen with the SEC schedule, what's going to look like, who are the winners and losers, because there's always going to be winners and losers. That's just life. Anyways, guys, gents, pleasure for you guys coming on. Great show.
Great show.
Thanks, guys.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.